For coaches, by coaches, this is Soccer Chat with Nick Rizzo and Sean Sauterly. Brought to you by Social Media for High School Athletes.
It is here. It is that time once again. It is the Soccer Chat Women's World Cup Preview Show. Every 4 years, every 3 years, we give you the men's preview. We give you the women's preview because we want to give you guys all the information so that way when you're watching, you can put names to faces. You can sound like you know what you're talking about. You can have that water cooler talk and give information to the friends of yours who are watching the Women's World Cup. And we have a very special guest who's joining us today. It is best-selling author. You got to throw that in there. Best-selling author Shane Stay is here with us, and he just wrote a book recently about the Women's World Cup and everything that you need to know about it. And Shane, like, how did you get the idea to write this book?
Well, we my publisher and I saw it as a good opportunity to feature the World Cup for the women coming up. We did a book on the Men's World Cup called the World Cup 2018 book, Everything You Need to Know About the Soccer World Cup for the Men. And so we wanted to follow up, and we did one here on the Women's World Cup coming up. And that's how it came together, essentially. Thanks for having me on, by the way. I appreciate being here.
Not a problem. And, you know, the information that we got on you is, you know, your playing days. Give us some background of the playing days.
So I quit after high school, and then years later, I felt like my biological athletic clock ticking, if you will. And, I figured I would try to play again. And long story short, I had an invitation to train with a pro team, and I had a restaurant at the time. So it didn't work out. I chose the restaurant over that opportunity. And then from there, about 5 years later, I wanted to get back into it. And I eventually played professionally briefly with a team. That was all she wrote. So
what's that? Go ahead, Nick.
No, I was gonna say, what made you get into writing after that?
Well, I had written prior to that, I guess. So I had some magazine stories published in the late 90s, a long time ago. And then that was a passion of mine and something that I had wanted to do for a long time. So I'd already been doing that, essentially. And I skirted around the idea of playing professionally and or attempting to do it for a while. And it was to play professionally, it was a long journey, a long struggle to get back into the game. And I finally did. And I always tell people it's really, it sounds a little bit like a paradox, but it's really difficult, I think, for anybody to play professional soccer in the U.S. because while we might be more accepted around the world more and more these days, we're still not to an extent. So what happens is you have very few players that are able to play in Europe or elsewhere from the United States. And therefore, everybody in the United States ends up being stuck in the U.S. trying to play professionally in the U.S. somewhere. And so that's a lot of really good players that, you know, are trying to play professionally in the U.S. and everybody can't, obviously. You know, there's only so many availabilities in MLS or in the indoor leagues or the lower outdoor leagues as well, you know. So it was a long journey and struggle, and it came to fruition, and I was very pleased with it as it ended up.
Let's get into breaking down some of these groups for a little bit before we hit into the knockout stages and eventually who we all may feel could come out on top. So from your research that you did with Group A with France, the Korean Republic, Norway, and Nigeria, who are some names from any of those teams that everyone needs to be on a lookout for? And then ultimately, who do you see coming out of that group?
Well, they say France is the favorite, they being most people around. And I think the experts at FIFA would typically say that France is the main team. But Norway has traditionally been better than France in the women's game, I would argue. I think that's a safe thing to say. Basically, Norway's always been pretty good, as has Sweden, their Scandinavian neighbor. But I think France is looking very good. But on the first off, on the Norwegian side, you have Marin Geldy, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and Emily Havi and Lisa Marie Carlson Utland are a couple of their main players. And they should give France fits, I think. You know, I think they'll be looking very good. But France also has some, you know, some top players to watch out for. And one in particular, I would argue, would be Valerie Govin. And I know I'm pronouncing that wrong. Valerie Govin, right? Maybe you guys know better French than me.
Anybody who follows our show knows that I butcher names all the time. So I'm not even going to give that one an attempt.
Oh, darn. I thought you were going to say anybody that follows knows that I'm fluent in French. No. I'm going to go off on some French tangent. Okay. and then, so let's say Valerie Govin. Okay. And then
we'll go with that.
There we go. And then Amandine Henry. Henri, probably.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's Amandine Henri. It's, you know, I don't even know if I got the first name right. Anyway, those two should be two of their featured players. And yeah, France is looking good, evidently. And I honestly, not to go on forever about it, but I don't traditionally see France as a top women's team, but they have been making strides of late, and they're ranked very highly. So.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Nick and I were talking beforehand about, you know, France is really coming to their own over these last couple of World Cups to where, I mean, there are many who, not just being the home team, but there are many who are calling them the favorites for the whole thing.
Exactly. I think they're ranked, I don't have it in front of me. I think they're ranked number three this World Cup.
I do have it in front of me. And they, according to FIFA, they're four, just like four. Barely behind four. England.
Got it.
And
okay.
That just happened. So you were right. Like about 2 weeks ago, you would have been right.
Oh, so they were three 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Interesting. Now they're four. I wonder what changed.
We were joking about this the last time we did the World Cup. Because there, Sean, I don't know if you remember, there was the men's team that like had found a way to like trick the FIFA ranking system.
Yes, yes.
I don't remember which team it was.
I don't either. No, wasn't it a CONCACAF team? Wasn't it like Costa Rica?
I feel like it was a European team, but they had like found a way to like trick the FIFA ranking system where they played like the bare minimum number of games that you could possibly play and played like a certain like teams that you could play to still be ranked really high. And it, like, so they were ranked like top 20 or top 10 when they were like realistically like a top 50 team.
Mm.
But yeah, I think the interesting thing about France too is like, if they have kind of a quarterfinal matchup with the USA potentially. And it will be interesting because like you said, Shane, they've never really been that far in the World Cup. I think they finished fourth in 2015.
Yeah.
But that's like the furthest that they've gotten in any World Cup up to that point. So it's like you said, it's when they get to that point, is it going to be something where the nerves start to kick in and that it's going to be a hump they need to get over.
Mm-hmm.
Especially playing at home too. I mean, like that's got to be, I mean, not too many there, especially from what we've seen. I mean, even on the men's side, I mean, there's a struggle when you're that home team playing. I mean, look at Brazil a few years ago. You know, there's that even added pressure to teams to go out there and perform.
Definitely. Yeah. I think it'll be really interesting to see how France does considering all of that, considering they're making huge strides recently. They're ranked highly. They're at home. And, you know, another interesting point is that what I love about the women's game is that it's a lot different from the men's game in that, like, Italy, for instance, is not good in women's soccer at all. And neither is Argentina. So they're both working really hard to improve their programs. So I want to see how they'll do each World Cup, particularly like say Argentina, who I think in, when was it? 2007, I think the 2007 World Cup, they lost 11-0 to Germany, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow.
So like they're not up to par so much, the Argentinian women's national team. So I'd like to see if they improve, how well they do.
Yeah. So who would be your guys' two picks from Group A? Obviously, it sounds like we're all big on France coming out of the group. Who would be that number two team?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first, Shane. You're the expert here. We're just here to give you questions.
Okay. I would go with France and Norway. I would go with those two.
Nick, what about you?
Well, if you want to join, we actually have a soccer chat poll going online. So Connor McKee was kind enough to set it up for us, but those were the two that I had coming out of the group two, Norway and France.
Yeah,
I
mean, same here.
Not sorry to interrupt, but I mean, Nigeria, I don't think they'll get through. And then the interesting one is, well, I mean, Nigeria, again, similar to Argentina, I'm very fascinated to see how Nigeria will do. But South Korea might be interesting. You know, I don't know much about them compared to, say, Norway. I know a bit about the South Korean team, but I don't think they're quite as good as Japan in the women's side. And Japan is a powerhouse. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I think the last thing I checked, I know South Korea or Korea got, I think they lost 4-0 to Sweden like a few weeks back in like a closed door friendly. So like that was my hesitation with them because obviously Sweden's very good, but like you said, I think Norway and Sweden are very comparable teams, and so that was my goal. That was where I went with that one too.
Well, with what Nigeria has going for them is that they're going to wear the same kits that the men wore in the last World Cup. And those are the greatest kits that have been made in the last 10 years.
Those are the best kits.
Yeah, they were.
All right, so we have everybody saying France and Norway, possible South Korea coming out of that one. Group B, we have Germany, China, Spain, and South Africa.
This has to be the group of death, right? This absolutely has to be the group of death.
I would. That's about as close as I think as you can get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Nick, what do you got for Group B?
Well, I mean, like, I think the interesting thing about this one is, I mean, Spain is easily the most interesting team in this group. I don't think anyone's questioning how good Germany is. And obviously, China has the pedigree of, I mean, it hasn't been very recent, but they've had a pedigree of being successful in the World Cup, especially like around our 99ers time. But Spain is very interesting just because the game is increasing so much over there. I don't know if you saw, like it was like 2 months ago, so ago when they were starting to pack out like every final and like even practices for the women's squads were just getting crazy amount of fans over there. And so it seems like the country is really behind their women's team right now. And they play very similar to like they play that very possession oriented style of soccer where they build from the back. They're very good at it. And so it's really interesting. I think it's going to be one of those things where like if I had people coming out, I think I had Germany and Spain coming out just because they're a fun team to watch. And I would like to see them advance, but what about you guys?
You go ahead, Shane.
I agree there. I think it'll be Germany first, China second likely, and Spain's another one. I touched on Italy and Argentina a little earlier as women's sides that haven't been that good. Spain, I don't think they'll be too strong. And South Africa, same goes with them. I think I predicted that China will get fourth overall in the whole tournament. Yeah. And did you want to save that for later, like ultimate predictions?
Or no, I mean, like we'll just go. Yeah, we'll get to that point since we get through the groups. This group actually, Nick, before we start recording, made me change my mind because of how I had my bracket challenge set up. And I had China, and I was telling Nick the reason why I had picked China to get through was I was watching Fox Soccer Plus yesterday, was replaying all of the U.S. women's games from the 2015 World Cup. Yeah. And I was like, oh, China's in the round of 16. And I was like, hey, like, you know, they're doing pretty well. Okay. I can get behind this. And I was like, oh, I got to do my bracket challenge. You know, I hadn't seen a China game recently, obviously, in 4 years. I was just like, yeah, so I'll go with that. And then when Nick and I were talking about it, he was like, you know, like Spain's actually pretty good. Like China lost their best player, you know, and it kind of goes through it and made me change my mind. So I had to pick, changed my mind. I've got Germany coming out on top of that group, and I just changed from China to Spain as being the second team to come through. And I'm kind of with Nick on it on this. There's this like rise going on because I definitely agree with Nick because I want to say it was the Barcelona women's team had like 50,000 fans for their last game or something like that.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of see this like movement going on. So unfortunately, Nick got into my mind and made me change my picks, and I went with Germany and Spain.
If we're being honest, you should probably go with Shane's picks over Nick's picks. But
well, then I need to go back to having China coming out of that group, but then that messes up my entire the rest of my brackets. Group C. is an interesting one. We have Australia, Italy, Brazil, and a team that shall not be named because they upset our show very well. Because they did not take our good friend Dr. Laura Jackson on their World Cup roster, and that is Jamaica. So I told everybody on our show from the moment we found out that Laura Jackson did not get on the World Cup roster that I was not going to show any allegiance or fandom towards Jamaica. So I had them not coming out of the group. And I went with I have Brazil coming out on top of that group, and I went with Italy being the second group. I really like Australia. That was the one that I struggled with going between Italy and Australia, and I don't know what it is. I guess I kind of went, all right, you know, geography, France is closer to Italy, more Italian fans can show up, and so I went with Brazil and Italy to coming out of that group.
I think it's interesting because, like, Australia has never been, like, I think it considered a contender.
They're so hyped up every year that you think to yourself, like, oh, yeah, Australia is like really, really good. And then when you watch them play, it's like, oh.
See, I don't remember. Maybe this is just me. I don't ever remember them being like super hyped, but like recently I feel like everyone's all aboard that. But like, for me, I have them coming. I'm from Chicago originally. So I watch Red Stars games decent amount. So I can't go against like Sam Kerr right now. And I just want to see a few backflips this World Cup too. She's got the coolest celebrations, but I think, I don't know. I had a hard time going against the top two in this group when you're looking at it, just because I think Brazil, I mean, you got to root for Marta to get through a last World Cup that she'll probably be in. I think Brazil also has like a 30, like 8-year-old that has been in 5 World Cups now.
Yeah.
I wish I had her name in front of me. And then, I don't know, I had a hard time going against Sam Kerr in Australia. Sam Kerr is, over the last few years, has been the best player in the world, one of the best players in the world, if not the best player.
What about you, Shane?
Well, this is a really tricky group to pick. I remember looking at this thinking, boy, almost anything could happen. Australia will be a tough team to beat, whereas Italy should be competitive, and Brazil should definitely get out of this group. Jamaica, on the other hand, might have some difficulty.
Because they didn't take Dr. Laura Jackson on our team. That's why.
Right. Yeah, I think that's it.
So I don't care what any analysis says for any analyst who comes out about this group, whatever. Jamaica, they didn't take Dr. Laura Jackson, so they don't have a chance to win.
Yes.
Now watch them go through and get out of this group, because I'm saying that. You're welcome, Jamaica.
I'm trying to think of the player you mentioned earlier, the older Brazilian player, and I know her name. I have it right there, and I just can't think of it. I saw her playing recently, but she's a midfielder typically. And boy, if I could only remember her name. Anyway, yeah, I think Brazil should get out, but Italy has they have Barbara Bonencia, and they're looking good. And Marta, as you guys mentioned, and Sam Kerr, obviously, with Australia. So I think this will be a really interesting group. I doubt Jamaica will get through. You never know, though. Something crazy might happen. They might. This is their first World Cup, too, if my memory serves me correctly. This might be an interesting chance for them to make big waves. You know, who knows?
The Stars and Stripes FC is actually calling Group C the Group of Chaos. They're saying that's, you know, that's their pick for the Group of Death.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find the player that, for whatever reason, we cannot think. I know the three of us like know exactly who it is, but we can't think of the name. Australia gets a nod just because they have the coolest nickname of anybody. I love the Fighting Matildas. That's just absolutely it doesn't get much better than that. Let's see here. Players to watch. Is it Formiga?
Yeah,
I thought
Formiga. Formiga. 41. 41 is playing in her 7th World Cup.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know she was going to be in it. I was considering her as a key player to list, but considering her age, I thought, well, is Formiga going to be in it or not? And I was leaning towards she might not be in it. You know, it's kind of tricky because they don't release the rosters until recently. So the book was already sent to the printer by the time before the rosters were out, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
Couple of them we had to juggle and figure out, well, you know, should we talk about that person or not? Formiga, yeah. So watch out for her.
we will all say that Brazil will win that group, and then Australia. I'll change my pick again, I guess. Australia coming out of second. Is that wow. Is that kind of everybody's?
I don't know. Is it Nick over there?
I actually had it reversed. I had Australia first, Brazil second.
You got Australia winning the group.
Wow.
Sam Kerr fanboy in the house.
Yeah, wow. I know. Sam Kerr is like my favorite.
Okay. I don't know, guys. I don't know what to say. If you're really going to ask me who to don't place money based on my pitch for this group. That's for sure. I wouldn't do that. But I would maybe go Brazil, Australia, I don't know. It's tricky. Maybe Italy, but yeah, Brazil and Australia I would go with if I had to choose.
All right, we'll go with that. You know, I think for me that Brazil, they perform so well in the World Cup. You know, there's a lot of pride there when it comes to that. And when it comes to the Women's World Cup, like you can always bet on them. Like, you know, especially in that group stage, you know, they're going to find a way to get there unless they just have like an absolute brutal collapse like the men a few years ago. Group D is a very interesting group to me.
Is it coming home, Sean? Is it finally coming home?
Well, we'll speak about that here in a little while. It's Japan, Argentina, Scotland, and England. For me, I've really gotten into the English national team on the women's side a lot, and just probably like the last like 8 years, and that's through really starting to follow the Chelsea ladies team and seeing players like Fran Kirby, who I think is just. With the way that Nick feels about Sam Kerr, I feel the same way about Megan Rapinoe and Frank Kirby. Those are my two favorite players in the women's game right now, and they're both going to be featured in this World Cup. So for me, as soon as I saw this pairing, I was just like, I know Japan's typically pretty good. Scotland, I've not heard much on their women's team, but England, I know there's just this frenzy from the Lioness. Plus, they may have had the coolest roster reveal video of all the teams.
It was pretty cool. That one was up there for sure.
I mean, imagine like finding out through Prince William that you're making the team, or David Beckham saying your name that you made the team. Like, I just think like that kind of gives them a little bit of a nod, and that's like a crap thing to say, you know, in soccer analysis. Here I am basing who I think is going to win off their roster reveal video.
Someone were to announce you in for the U.S. men's team, who would you want to announce you?
The Rock.
That's a good one.
The Rock. Cause I, you know, the most electrifying man in all of entertainment. I think he would make me sound way better than what I actually was. I think
I'm going to go Will Smith. To announce me.
Okay. Okay.
I'd like Will Smith to announce me for the next World Cup.
What about you, Shane? What celebrity is going to announce you for the World Cup roster?
I'll go with The Rock. Sure.
I feel like The Rock should do everybody's. Like, yeah. He would get everybody so motivated and excited to be on the team. But Will Smith, I could see Will Smith. And that's really like, that's probably the most Nick answer I've ever heard Nick say is Will Smith. Only if he's got getting jiggy with it going on in the background. But let's get jiggy with Group D here. What do you guys have from England, Scotland, Argentina, and Japan?
This group's tricky too, I think. I mean, like, I think Shane spoke about it earlier where Argentina is, like, not perennially a very solid team. I think they got – in their only two World Cup appearances. I think I read this earlier. They've gotten last in their group, the two other two World Cups that they were in. But, like, and again, I think – the harder thing, I think, is to pick who wins this group because, yeah. Like, you have a Japan team who, again, is always pretty, pretty solid, especially over the last two World Cups where they beat the U.S. in 2011 and then lost the U.S. in the final. But England right now is coming up. They finished third in 2015, so you have to kind of look at them to be a group that – or a team that gets out of the group in a pretty high spot. So I don't know, like – I picked the winner, but I want to get your guys' thoughts before I reveal my winner.
You go for it, Shane.
Sure. I think I agree. This is a really interesting, tricky group and one I'm looking forward to. With England, you have Fran Kirby, as you mentioned earlier. Scotland, Kim Little is looking good. Argentina has someone called Estefania Bonini. And then Mana Iwabuchi, if I'm saying that correctly, with Japan. So I would go with Japan winning the group. England coming in second. However, I think Scotland could make some waves. They could make it really interesting. And I'm really fascinated to see how Argentina does above all else, considering their past poor World Cup experiences. I'm fascinated with Argentina.
I feel like I remember this. Didn't Argentina like not play a game for like a few years right around the last World Cup? They like didn't have like an international match for like 2 years during the last World
Cup. Well, apparently, you know, with what Shane said about losing 11-0, that makes total sense.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Let me pull this up. I want to make sure.
Well, while you're pulling that up, I'll go through. I believe for mine, let me pull it up here. I had England coming through in that group, along with, I went with a dark horse. I knew that Japan should be one to go through because they always do well, but I've got this feeling of magic, and I went with Argentina.
Ooh. Oh,
okay, wow. So I found it, Sean. They went on strike from 2015 through 2017, did not play a single match during that time, Argentina.
And then got waxed 11-0.
That was prior to that.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because that makes total sense, total sense. So I believe that we're all, for the most part, Japan and England.
Yeah.
Maybe England or, you know, what about you? Final say? Who do you have coming out of the group?
Yeah, I think it's hard to go against those two.
Yeah. England, Japan. I'm very curious, though, about Scotland, Argentina. You never know. What if Argentina pulled off a miracle like you're hoping for, Sean? I think that's something to look forward to.
If Argentina makes themselves out of the group, again, country of Argentina, you are welcome. Group E is for everyone. I think this is the fun group to me. This is a group that when I see the names, I thought, man, these games are going to be fun. We've got Canada, Cameroon, New Zealand, and the Netherlands. Nick, what do you like from this group?
I mean, I this is going to sound biased. I like Canada just because a lot of their players play in the NWSL, so I know more of them. So I'm like rooting for. I feel like I'm just rooting for teams as opposed to like trying to pick teams.
It sounds to me like you're rooting for players, not teams.
Yeah, no, that's pretty true. No, but this group's another group where like there's not a like everyone's done fairly well recently. Like everyone's been in a lot of World Cups. Like I think both Cameroon and Netherlands both got knocked out in the round of 16 in the last World Cup, but New Zealand was in the group stages. So like every one of these teams has World Cup experience. And so I don't know, it's interesting. I think Christine Sinclair is like Canada's version of our Carly Lloyd, where it's probably her last World Cup. She's probably going to retire after this one. So I think she's been Canada Player of the Year like a bazillion times. So I don't know. I'm kind of rooting for her to have a good World Cup and get. So I don't really have a lot of Canadian friends, but for all my Canadian friends, I'm rooting for you guys too.
Well, that's like Barbara Bout from Soccer Chat at BARBOUT. Her prediction that she sent into us was that Christine Sinclair will break the scoring record and is hoping that people outside of Canada will talk about her breaking the record.
I mean, I will. I'm rooting for her.
What about you, Shane? What's your Group E suggestions?
Well, this is I'm on board with you guys again. This is a tricky group, really interesting. You know, you have Leek Martens with the Netherlands, Ali Riley with New Zealand. As you guys said, Christine Sinclair, Cameroon. You know, I doubt they're going to get out of this group, unfortunately. I think the two teams to get out will be Canada and Netherlands.
That's exactly what I had. I had Canada and Netherlands with Canada coming out on top. I really like Christine Sinclair. I really like what their women's program in Canada has been doing, in the last couple of years. And I think that you can see how well they've been, with their coaching style when their coach gets moved over to the men's team. To try to recreate what's been going on with the women's program in Canada. And I do have a few Canada friends. So, yes, my Canadian friends, I am rooting for you in your group. Group F, this is probably the most talked about in our country because it does feature the red, white, and blue, the United States women's national team. In their group, they are with Thailand, Chile, and Sweden. Now, for me, this one is a hard one because, as everybody knows, my family of generations is from Sweden. I have family over there. I have cousins who used to work for the national team. So I'm always that person. It's like, you can't have two soccer teams. You just have one. You have a national team and a club team. And if I was to have a second international team, Sweden would be my team. For me, it's all about the U.S. And this is what, you know, the thing I love about the World Cup is that every TV station that you're going to see for the next however many weeks, you're going to hear about the U.S. women's national team. So for both of you guys, go through who you think's coming out and give us the player you think people in America need to pay attention to on the U.S. women's team.
Shane, you can go first for this one. Sean keeps making me go first. You're the expert. Let's hear it.
Sure. So the top player for me, I would say the top player for me with the U.S. is Tobin Heath.
And she's sick. She is so sick.
Yeah, I think she's one of the best players we've ever had on the team. I think watch out for her. This is not to say don't watch out for Rapinoe or Alex Morgan or Press or Pew or Carly Lloyd, Ertz, and et cetera. So, but I think Tobin Heath is the best player we have right now. However, all the others that I mentioned are obviously top players in their own right too, and there's nothing to take away from them. So with that said, the team is so strong this year, I think it's going to be really hard for anybody to stop them. I think the only team that'll stop them is themselves stopping them. Yeah. And often I think I use this analogy a little bit with the men's side. I think Brazil has so many expectations to win each World Cup from their own country and from people around the world that they have been rushing things in the offensive end of the field recently. And by recently, I mean about the past 10 years or so. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but like there's a real rush by the men's Brazilian side to try to score. And I think that it's taking away from them possessing the ball more, which in an odd way would create more scoring chances down the road, if you ask me. So I think my point is, with the men doing that in Brazil, I think our women's team might fall victim to the same type of thing, i.e. they're expected to win. They know they're the best team, and they might get that feeling like we need to appease the fans and score really quick, you know, and get it over with, get some goals because we know we're the best. And what happens is you don't get a goal for 30 minutes or the first half, and then maybe the second half it's still 0-0 or whatever. And now they start panicking, and then they just force things.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think in that sense, they could be their own worst enemy. And that's something to watch out for if you're them, because I think clearly they're the best. They're the proven favorites. They're number one for a reason. So, you know, don't get frustrated if you don't score. And that'll be a great mentality to take into the World Cup if you're the women's team this time around.
Who from this group, because, you know, like I said, I was watching the 2015 World Cup yesterday. And I could tell in the games as they kept going on how much of a role, even when she wasn't starting and playing on the field, how much of a big factor Wambach was just to have on the roster.
Yeah.
The games that she didn't start, you know, she still had a presence in the game. And then when she came into the game as a sub, still made a big presence. So, I've read a lot. I watched a couple of the games before the World Cup and saw a lot of like Carly Lloyd coming off the bench. Like, who is going to be that player that's going to be a difference maker on and off the field who probably may not start every game or may have to come off the bench a lot? Is it going to be Carly Lloyd?
Yeah. I mean, right now, the way you look at it, I mean, it seems like Jill has like her set in stone lineup for, I mean, it's unless something drastically changes over the next few days, you're going to have Dahlkamp or Sauerbrunn as the two center backs, Kelly O'Hara on the right, Crystal Dunn on the left, and then Julie Ertz will sit with Horan as like an attacking mid on the left, Roosevelt attacking man on the right, and then you'll have Heath, Morgan, and Rapinoe across the top. The interesting thing is with that lineup, what I was going to say before is like this team has a different feel than like previous teams, where it seems like over the last few years, the U.S. had always scored in like particular ways. Like we were always pretty fast, pretty athletic. We'd get to balls. Even when like the 99ers were going, we like with Mia Hamm and all them, we were just a very kind of straightforward team. And this, when you have Rapinoe, you have Heath, Lavelle kind of bring a little bit of flair to it. So they kind of can keep the ball and wear on teams a little bit more. I think Horan is incredibly underrated. Like, even though she won NWSL Player of the Year, I think she's probably one of the most underrated players that we have on the team. But when you have Kristen Press coming off the bench and scoring seemingly almost every time, you have Carly Lloyd scoring seemingly every time she comes off the bench, it's kind of tough because, and I don't know about you, Shane, like, I don't like, there's going to be so many U.S. players that go that are fantastic players, like Morgan Bryan being one of them, that who was a key player in the last World Cup that may not even see the field this World Cup.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I think that like it's honestly like it's a good bad spot to be in because I mean, you based off of Lloyd's current form, like you almost have to start her, but you won't because Alex Morgan's been playing so well, and she the way she links up with Rapinoe and Heath, it's just their lineup kind of wrote itself going into this one.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I think everything you said I would agree with, and I think that you know, regardless if they do need some help off the bench, it's going to be strong help off the bench. And arguably some of those players could be starting, you know, and that's something that Jill Ellis just has to juggle. And that's, you know, that's a really tough thing when people watch, they think that oftentimes the starting 11 is the best lineup. Right. And we all assume that it's the best players we have, but you know, sometimes it's not the case. Like arguably Tobin Heath may have been the best player on the team last World Cup. And she was coming off the bench, if I remember correctly, in the beginning of the World Cup. And I think she was subbing for perhaps Wambach or somebody else, whoever she subbed for. I can't recall at this moment, but I think she ended up starting. But the point is she was coming off the bench, and it reminded me a little bit of Danielson coming off the bench for Brazil when he played. Again, another analogy with the men's side in Brazil. When Danielson played with the men's side for so long, I don't even know if he ever started with them. I'm sure he did at one point or another, but I don't think he ever started for the Brazilian national team in World Cups. And he was, in many people's eyes, maybe the best attacking player they had outside of Ronaldo and Rivaldo. Well, and Ronaldinho. So maybe that's kind of hard to say he was the best among those guys. But you know what I'm saying? He was like definitely a guy where people are like, why is he coming off the bench?
Yeah. Well, when we talk about like players to look for, you know, if your child comes up to you and says that they would like a Tobin Heath jersey, that's not a bad thing. Like that, I think Tobin is kind of the future when we look at, you know, all of us who have, you know, daughters who are very little playing. I think, you know, they're going to grow up seeing Tobin Heath as like the best player that the women's team have had. She's just so technical. She's so creative. It's literally, I said this to somebody the other day. If you could bring the N1 mixtape to her from basketball into soccer, bring the announcer guy for Tobin Heath, because I think every movement she makes is flawless. And she just like has this creativity about her. Like you can tell that she was a girl who just grabbed a ball and she had space to move and just came up with things off the top of her head. We were going through with our daughter the other day, like, okay, like we got to get her a US jersey. You know, I was really wanting for Rapinoe, but there was a part of me that was like, you know, like Tobin, he's still got some more time left in her. And she's a great player for kids to watch. So I think we all can say that we see the U.S. winning that group. And then who would you guys go for number two? I went with Sweden.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I think Sweden would be the easy choice there. I think Thailand and Chile will probably not win a game. And, it'll be really hard for both those. Chile's not; they're struggling with their program as well. So this is Thailand's first World Cup, and I used to co-own a Thai and American fusion restaurant. So I'm very familiar with. I speak a little Thai, so I know a lot of Thai people. So I hate to say to my Thai friends that they're going to lose and do terrible, but I think that's going to be the case. I think they'll try really hard. They'll be good sports about it, but I'd be surprised if Thailand actually got a goal, to be honest.
I was gonna say, I think it was Stars and Stripes FC who said like they project Thailand not to be probably be the worst team of the tournament, but you know, no, it's their first one. You know, you can't do anything to you give it a try the first time. So you know, big shout outs to Thailand for getting themselves in. Before we get into we'll do a quick little lightning round of the knockout stages, but we do have some questions from the Soccer Chat audience that I wanted to kind of throw your guys' way. But we have Matt Dortman at Coach underscore Dorman sent us a question for you, Shane. He said, which player and team are you most excited to watch at this World Cup? He was going with England and Fran Kirby. Very good pick. He must have known me pretty well to say that. So for both you guys, which is the player and team that really gets you excited to watch that's not the U.S.?
You want me to go first or?
Yeah.
Boy, you know, I hate to sound like I'm joking, but I think it'll be really hard to pick a single team, but I'm going to go with the lesser teams, Thailand, Chile, Argentina. I'm honestly saying that I'm very curious to see how well they'll do or how poorly they'll do. Right.
That's true. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Like if they, not to knock them or, you know, not to have a go at them, but if they do really badly this time around, like 11-0, that's kind of interesting to watch. You know what I mean? Because you're watching, you're like, well, what are they doing wrong? You know, and like, you know, what's the other team doing right? You know, so if somebody loses like 11-0 again, as Argentina lost to Germany a few years back, I'd be very fascinated with that. And, but if I had to pick, well, you said outside of the U.S., I'm most interested in seeing the U.S. play. So, let me say, Germany.
There you go.
Yeah.
I could go with that. What about you, Nick?
I'm going to go Canada, our Northern brethren, just because again, I want Sinclair to do well. Enhancing statements. I want, like, I think it's fairly easy to look at these groups and say, like, that there are certain favorites in every single group. I kind of want to see, like, a Scotland get out of the group or someone that we might not expect to get out of a group and just kind of have a go at things, because I think those are the more fun tournaments when you have a team that kind of no one expects that starts making a run of things. And so I would say I'm kind of rooting for something like that, just because I want the U.S. to win, but I would love to see a team like Scotland just make a good run of things, or a team like New Zealand even. Mm-hmm. I just like, I like all the team nicknames, like the New Zealand Ferns. I don't know. I'm rooting. I would like to see like a New Zealand or a Scotland get out of the group.
Let's see here. Some of our Soccer Chat friends, Don Crow, her picks have been, she says, U.S. is going to win it. Her dark horse, the team to watch for, is going to be Holland. Her final four is Germany, USA, Australia, and England. Said it was tough. She wanted to put Canada in, but just couldn't get herself to it. Mike Mismer, a good friend of the show, couldn't really decide much. Just said the last eight teams who make it are all going to be capable of winning. But he says that the big thing that's going to determine the outcome is the winner of a potential U.S. versus France quarterfinal matchup. And also we had I can't find out the top of my head, but I do know that we had somebody else send in that they thought that the whole tournament was going to be based off the France U.S. game. So now let's do lightning round real quick as we get out of here. I'll give you guys the round of 16 teams. You pick your winner, and let's see if we all come up with the same thing. So if we went with Australia and Korea to start off with, who are you guys picking in that one?
Australia.
Ditto. What about you, Nick? Australia? Yep, I got Australia there too.
Sam Kerr.
Yes, for the Sam Kerrs. Japan versus China.
That's too early. I want that. This is round of 16, you're saying?
Yeah, this is the round of 16.
See, that's terrible. That hopefully they could meet like in the semifinals or something. I would go with Japan.
Okay. I'll go Japan too. What, like, because you had China originally in your final four. Did you have Japan in your final four in another way?
I did recently at my blog at ChainStay.com. I had Japan number 3 overall and China number 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that is too early for him, Sean. That's unfortunate. But I'm going to go Japan too.
Well, I think that's just because in my original thing, I had China coming out of that group second, and then you guys kind of talked me out of it. So I just have what I pulled up from my last thing. Next one, France. And I had Italy, but I think we said coming out of that group, we thought Australia or Brazil would win that one. So let's just go. Let's say Italy does something amazing. Or actually, no, let's go with Brazil there. So it'd be Australia come out on top, and we'll have Brazil there. So let's say France or Brazil.
Wow. For France.
I'm gonna have to go France too.
I have France advancing there as well. In the next group, let's go with, let's see. So this is where I get kind of messed up because Nick, I had this all set up and then Nick made me change my mind on certain things. And my next one, yeah. So my next one, I had Spain versus the U.S. Because I had Spain coming out of the group. So let's just kind of go with a chance of a Spain or China versus the U.S.
U.S.
Yeah, I think a France United States or France United States game in the quarterfinals, it's inevitable. And that will probably be the most hyped up game you will see all tournament. Next up, we have it would either be Australia or Brazil. Let's go with Brazil or Norway.
Or go ahead.
I'll go Norway.
Okay. Yeah, I was hoping you would go first and help me there. That's too tough. I don't know.
I went with Brazil on that one.
I'd have to flip a coin, be honest, because I think the problem with Brazil is Marta's old in soccer years right now, and she might not be at her best as she was in past years, right? So I would have to go with maybe Norway in that game.
Okay. Next one, we had Canada versus England. I know our Canadian friends will be upset at this, but I'm going to England.
I'd go Canada.
I was actually going to go England too, but I don't like going against the person who knows this better than us.
Well, I'm reluctantly going. That's a tough one. My expertise aside, I would go with either one, to be honest. I mean, that's
a coin flip one too. I would agree.
Yeah. I just chose Canada because of Christine Sinclair and, they're our neighbors, I guess. I'm trying to be neighborly right now. But that's just too tough to call, to be honest. I mean, England could win that easily. That's a penalty kick shootout, if you ask me, but I would go Canada.
So if you're listening to this and you're trying to figure out who to put there, just flip a coin and you'll get whatever answer you get, that we will back you up on that one. Next up, I had Germany versus Argentina, which we said could be Japan or, you know, even Scotland. They could come through. But I went dark horse there. So, you know, kind of choose between Germany or either Argentina / Japan / Scotland.
I like your dark horse pick, by the way. I like
the
guts it took for you to go, you know what? I'm going to go with Argentina.
I'm going with it, man.
I'm going to go with those guys. I would pick Germany in that case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Germany, I have going. I have them in the final.
Right. Me too.
Spoiler alert. And then the next game I had in my round of 16 was Sweden versus the Netherlands.
Man. Netherlands.
I'll go Netherlands too.
I went Sweden on that one, so I just had to make note that you guys said Sweden there. So let's go into that one. So then we would go into the next round, into the quarterfinals. We'll go with your guys' pick because it was 2-1. So let's go the Netherlands versus Germany.
Wow. Germany.
Germany.
I have Germany out of that one. And the next one, you guys had Norway. So let's go Norway versus England.
Oh, wow. Go ahead. I'm afraid to say.
I'm going, the women's team is going to get just as far as the men's team, so I'm going England.
Okay, I'll go with England. Yeah.
All right, so 3 there for England. The U.S. versus France. This is the game of the tournament. This will decide so many other teams' potential ending spots in the tournament, I think.
Definitely U.S.
Yeah, I'm not going against the U.S.
Yeah. And then we have a potential of Japan versus Australia.
I would go with Japan.
Same.
That's what I had as well, man. Good. We got it on these last couple, semifinals, the United States versus Japan.
U.S.
I had U.S. as well. And then, in the other semifinal, Germany versus England.
I would go Germany. That'd be a good game. Both would be good games, by the way, the U.S. and Japan.
Yeah.
England, Germany, but I would go with Germany.
It is not coming home, Germany.
I went with England, so you guys both said Germany. So that sets up a final. Let's go our third place. So that would be England versus Japan. Who do you have third place in that game?
England, Japan.
England. I feel like they're going to get their third place.
Wow. I would a little there. I would go with Japan. However, nothing against England. I could see them pulling it off, but I have a feeling about Japan this year. I could be wrong. Who knows? But I think Japan's looking pretty good.
I have on my own bracket challenge, I have England in the finals. But you guys both picked Germany. So we will go in the World Cup winning game, United States versus Germany. What do you guys have?
U.S. Yeah, I picked U.S. over Germany. Again, at my blog at ShaneStay.com, I chose U.S. first, Germany second, Japan third, and China fourth.
Yeah, Nick? U.S. all the way.
U.S. all the way. What score? What do you guys think the score is going to be?
Oh, I can see another shootout.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, I that wouldn't be a shocker at all. Yeah, for sure. If not that, maybe 2-1 U.S.
Yeah.
I was going to say 2-1, 3-2, something along those lines. Mm-hmm. The thing I love about the women's team, and my wife talks about all the time, they make games theatrical. And I'll never forget that game versus Brazil, the comeback in that one. I think that they will make that game theatrical, unlike the 2015 where it was just like, oh, like 5 minutes into the game, you're like, well, this is over. Yeah. And scoring like 5 goals in the first half. So we all have went with the U.S. as the picks. That is, you know, what we can give you from our analysis of what we think the World Cup will be. You know, go on our Twitter page, Chat Soccer. There's no E, so it's SOCCR. Sign up on the bracket challenge. Hop in. Let's see from our soccer chatters who you have. Let's see what you guys have picked, and then we'll do some watching parties. We'll do some live tweeting like we did during the Men's Cup. Maybe we'll do a hangout where everybody can get on their computers and we can all watch the games at the same time and converse about it. Shane, we want to thank you so much for coming on. Go ahead. This is a chance where we let everybody get all their plugs in. So, you know, plug the book, plug your website, plug the other books that you've got out already or potential books that you have coming out to get everybody excited.
Thank you. Yeah, sure. So right now I have the Major League Soccer book is out right now. It's Major League Soccer 2019, everything you need to know about the teams. And also out right now that just came out recently a few days ago is the Women's World Cup 2019 book, everything you need to know about the Soccer World Cup. And for that book, the Women's World Cup 2019 book, I have some meet and greets coming up on June 8th in Glenview, Illinois at Barber's Bookstore. And June 30th at Santa Rosa, California, in Copperfield's Books. Details are at ShaneStay.com. Those should be fun. I look forward to seeing people there and talking soccer there. And also coming out is another book in a few months here about the European Soccer Leagues. It's called European Soccer Leagues 2019, and it's about the 2019 and 2020 seasons coming up here. So it's everything you need to know about all the teams in European soccer, La Liga, EPL, Bundesliga, Serie A, League One, etc., and all the top players and what's going on, what to expect. So that should be coming out shortly. And again, details are at ShaneStay.com.
And if somebody wants to shoot you a line on Twitter, how can they do so?
Twitter is at ShaneStay. And I'm also at Facebook at ShaneStay Author on Facebook.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, maybe Nick, you can hit up the book signing, go get you the copy and get it personally autographed.
I would love that.
Good to see you there, Nick. Yeah. Come on by.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Shane, thank you so much for coming on and being a part of this World Cup preview show with us. And now the cool thing is everybody gets to see the actual results of what happens and they can make fun of all of us for the predictions that we may have made, and including my Argentina pick. But I'm telling you, if Argentina makes their way through, I don't want to hear nothing from nobody. Because we made the pick. So as you heard, we all said we believe the final to be U.S. versus Germany. What's your picks? Let us know on Twitter. Use the hashtag SoccerChat or make sure you're following us at ChatSoccer. There's no E. That's S-O-C-C-R. And once again, thank you for being a part of this Women's World Cup preview. We want to hear who you guys got. Let us know now that you're done listening to the show.